Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt.
Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Both the Ravens, nevermore.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing good. I have next to me, drumroll, rye bread starter.
Oh, a brand new starter for you, eh?
I'm making a starter. For Valentine's Day, I got a online bread-making course, which I'm doing on Saturday. And it told me I've got to make my own starter. It's gross!
Well, of course it's gross. Look at it.
It's so gross. It bubbles. You feed it. It goes... This is the sound it makes when I open it.
Can you not open it now and put it near to the mic so we can hear it? Or is that going to ruin the integrity?
I've just fed it. So a lot of... I've just opened it. Let's see. Can't hear. Oh, it smells. Oh!
That did not pick up at all.
I don't want to eat this. Why? Anyway, how are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm okay. I mean, I was going to ask if you managed to recover from Elimination Chamber because, I mean, before we did the podcast yesterday, you did say to me, oh, I'm crashing. I'm crashing a little bit.
That's always the way on a post-pay-per-view. We've got another one coming up soon with Revolution. Yes.
But you had your pizza at 5 p.m. My question was, did that help and did you sleep well?
Oh, no, the pizza does not help. It makes me horribly bloated. I get stomach cramps and I'm thirsty for a whole 24 hours afterwards. but it is what I need. I wanted it. I wanted it and I had it and it was great. And then I fell asleep at 8:30.
No, oh, very, very nice, mate. That's a good way to be. I mean, actually, I wasn't too far behind you, really. So on my wife's not very well at the moment, bless her. Nothing serious. She's just, I think it's like hay fever is like really getting to her. She gets hay fever quite bad. It's like all up in her face. We went for a walk on Sunday around a park and she was absolutely fine. Then we got into the car and all of a sudden like her eyes were like sort of like watering and swelling. She was like, it was all up in her face. Anyway, on Friday night, I finished work. We watched WandaVision and had some dinner. And it got, you know, it's 7:25. And my wife turns to me and was like, I mean, I want to watch ER, but can we just watch it in bed? And what that means is that we then just watch it on the iPad.
Sexy
or on a laptop
time.
Or something.
That's what it means.
let's watch
medical dramas to get me in the mood.
Is that guy lost his leg? Now I'm into it. Now you're getting me going.
Have you ever watched Killing of a Sacred Deer?
I have not, no.
It's got Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman, I think. And it opens, they're both doctors. He's an anaesthetist. And they, one of the first few scenes, she says, do you want to play, they're in the bedroom, do you want to play general or local anaesthetic? And he says, General, and she lays back on the bed and pretends to be asleep. It is so grim.
10 cc's of bonus stat.
I'm gonna have to go in.
And, so, you know, if we're going to watch something in bed, that means we have to watch it on an iPad or on the laptop. And so I said, how's about this for a radical idea? How about I unplug the TV and what? I unplug the PlayStation and I take both of them up to the bedroom and we'll
That's three flights of stairs.
We're on the second floor at the moment. We're not in the main suite because we haven't got the beds ready for that room yet. So we're actually sleeping in the guest room currently. So there's only one flight of stairs. But we'll take it, we'll put it in the bedroom. And we're like, oh, it's so naughty. Putting a TV in the bedroom. It felt very naughty. I know. Long story short, it's happened every single night since, with the exception of Sunday, because I was watching the Elimination Chamber. But Friday, Saturday, and last night, I had taken the TV out of the living room, moved it into the bedroom, and the PlayStation, plugged it all in. We watched a couple of episodes of ER, go to bed, and then I unplug it all, take it back downstairs into the living room, so it's there for the rest of the day.
You take it upstairs like it's a baby. Like you're putting the TV to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Every into the day. Bedroom. Isn't it quite heavy? That's two trips.
Yeah, oh mate, and it's multiple trips as well because I can't take the TV and the PlayStation at the same time because I've got quite an old TV. It's a bulky old thing. Like the rim around the TV is about 3 inches. It's a proper old. It is. It's one of those TVs.
3-inch rim is a recipe for trouble.
It is a TV that has just about got free view on it. Like that was, and like that at the time, it was state of the art that it had just more than it was able to get more than the 5 terrestrial channels. It was like a revolutionary thing. It's like, whoa, I could get E4 on this. It's about 16, 17, maybe even 18 years old at this point. So it's a bulk.
You need a new TV.
So I have to take that down and I have to take the PlayStation down. So that's like two trips in of itself. Then you need a third trip to also get the two remotes because you need the PlayStation remote and you need the TV remote. I'm getting a lot of exercise in, granted. But it was last night when Kate said to me, oh, should we go to bed and watch ER? And I was like, do you want me to take the TV up? And she went, we can't. We mustn't.
we've broken the spell. We didn't do it on Sunday. We can't do it on a new week.
She proper like put her hand to her mouth like, we mustn't. Like, it's a Monday night. We can't make this a regular habit. And I was like, but we could, though. It's so much comfier to watch it on the TV than it is to watch it on the iPad.
So having known you for your 3-year period of not having a functioning light bulb in your bathroom, with four years of mobile phone flashlight to poop with.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're going to get a new telly or a second telly.
In my defense, you just learn to poop during the day. You just train yourself to just get into a regular cycle of things.
What's it like having stairs, though? Because you were a one-floor person.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm actually getting quite used to it because I'm using the ensuite in the main suite on the second floor as currently. We didn't have this conversation. It just happened naturally. That's my bathroom. And Kate, the ensuite in the guest room has become Kate's bathroom. And that so she never uses the shower in the ensuite in the main ensuite, but she only uses the one. And I never use that one. I've never used the shower in the guest suite, but I only use that one. And there was I do quite a lot of walking up. Also the background that I use for my actually good videos, that's on the second floor as well. So I have to do a lot of walking up and down those stairs to set the recording up in the office. For the sound. But Kate came up to the second floor the other day while I was in the shower to tell me something. And she was genuinely out of breath. And she was like, that's a lot of stairs.
Well, she's tiny. That's like it's like a lot of stairs for a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. I feel like I'm getting so much more exercise in.
I don't like stairs. You've got a lift.
You've got a lift to your floor.
We don't use that. That's a COVID hazard.
What are you talking about? We've used it.
Yeah, that. But then we decided not to use it. That was when Luke came and collected the championship and kit from me. We had to do it that way. Oh, you're exposing the one breach of COVID protocols we've ever had. And yeah, we don't use, we use those stairs now. But within the confines of my flat, all on one floor, mm-hmm. I don't have to walk that far at all. I resent having to walk to the bathroom to clean my teeth when I'm already quite tired. That journey wakes me up a bit. I should just go to straight to bed without cleaning my teeth sometimes.
Oh, no, don't do that. Do you know the Twitter account Fesshole?
Yes.
Yeah, these sort of anonymous confessions and stuff. I read one on there this morning that was like, I haven't brushed my teeth in 8 days. Brushing the film that has built up is so big. It's going to be so satisfying to brush it off.
No. But I used to, my bedroom was the penthouse. No, it was just the attic conversion in the last house I lived in. And that took 2 flights of stairs to get up. And I grew to hate stairs. I never want to have that many floors in the house again. I'm going to have a sprawling complex, but just one floor.
I mean, maybe it's just a new novelty for me at the moment, but I kind of get a kick because like the ring light that I've got here in the office, I have to carry that upstairs so I can set up for actually good videos. I then make sure I'm all framed up and I sit down and I check the frame and everything. And then I go back down those stairs, back into the office, set up the mic pack on here, set up the recording on my laptop. And then I go back all the way up the stairs again, do all my recording. And then like editor James just gets to hear me like just like trundling up and downstairs. I do sing because I'm like, I'm not just going to give him dead air. He's not going to use any of it, but I'm just going to give him some singing for a little bit while I'm just carting kit around. Anyway, we've actually gone way long on this intro, but we have still got an outro to come yet. This is the Raw review. I hope you all enjoy it. Not a lot happened on Raw, remarkably. Here's the show.
Why should Bobby Lashley? Oh no, I went into Simon Miller mode. I shouldn't have put the should there. Why Bobby Lashley should be WWE champion? Look at this giant dome on my head getting progressively larger. Great, no, it's the strength of the hair, the lockdown hair. Why Bobby Lashley should be WWE champion. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. This is the WrestleTalk podcast channel now. Remember, we're no longer on the WrestleTalk channel. That's just for the news now. The WrestleTalk news podcast channel has its own channel. It should make everything a lot easier for you to find in the YouTube algorithms and let these videos thrive and grow in the way the YouTube algorithm wants them to. So if you haven't already, please click subscribe, enable notifications so you don't miss any future uploads. All the podcasts will now be here. But we're going to be talking about last night's Raw specifically. I'm going to say it. Maybe I overreacted to The Miz becoming.
Uh-oh. Is someone having some humble pie?
No. I still think Miz was really badly booked. And the Money in the Bank briefcase is a joke. But I really like the Bobby Lashley stuff. And I think
it's actually
quite a good way to get to him.
I mean, we said this on yesterday's podcast, man. Like, there is some positives to be taken from this, and it's all about the building of Bobby Lashley. They've done a great job of building him over the last 6 or so months for this opportunity, for this role. I think our argument yesterday was that the Miz was not the right person to be doing this with. And I stand by that, because Miz's promo that he had right at the start of this show, I was like, this sounds oddly familiar. And so I went back and I watched it. And yeah, it's almost the exact same promo he cut when he won the title 10 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's why I'm not into this. It's because it's 10 years later and he's cutting the same promo. But you know what? The Lashley was made to look amazing. Was this a babyface turn for Bobby Lashley? Because he felt like a killer babyface at the end of all of this.
I think it's more everyone else is a heel. you know, and he's the coolest of the heels. WWE, actually, I'll just quickly run through what happened, because obviously a lot of people don't watch Raw. Why would you? They rely on us to tell you. So show kicked off with Miz TV Champions Edition. Miz cut a promo. John Morrison's there with him. He's run through John Cena, The Rock, Daniel Bryan, Bobby Lashley. Super clunky choice there because he hasn't run through Bobby Lashley. And then Lashley comes out with MVP and they reveal the deal that they made at Elimination Chamber was that Bobby gets the first championship shot opportunity. Quite a nice, you know, that's what we assumed. It works really neatly, I think, because he's just lost the United States title. Screw it. I'm going to go for the big one. Let's get in there. And maybe, you know, MVP seems like he's the one pulling the strings there. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, and I particularly actually like The Miz later on. So, like, you know, they give him an hour's ultimatum to make his decision. And then we have that segment later. And then Miz is out for commentary. And I can't remember who it was. It was probably Byron or Todd Phillips that was like, you know, you made the deal. Like, the deal was that Bobby gets a shot at you. And Miz is like, I made that deal before I was the WWE champion. Now that I'm the champion, the deal, I have altered the deal. Like, basically just like full on like Darth Vadering all of this with Lando. I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter this further. Being like, now that I'm a champion, I've got more responsibilities on my shoulder. I actually really liked Miz's sort of his way of trying to worm out of this situation that he's created for himself.
So this brings me back to my not opinion change, but you know, I've had a day to cool off. And although Miz has been booked poorly, Money in the Bank briefcase has been booked poorly, he's kind of the perfect guy to do this with. If you're telling that story beat, if you want to get the title off him quickly, like who else would you put there?
But this is my worry, you know, and we've got here that, you know, why Bobby Lashley should win the title next week. And I really think that he should win the title next week. But the fact that they didn't take the belt off The Miz instantly and conspicuous by his absence on this episode was Drew McIntyre. I have got a bit of a worry that next week Drew's going to cause a DQ in the main event and Miz is going to effectively retain. And we're going to have a bit of a run of Miz is a crap champion and he just keeps ducking from all of these challenges, which gets old quite. I mean, let's be honest, that's what his run was 10 years ago. And it got stale as like staler than stale bread very, very quickly. And they dragged it out for months. I don't want them to drag this out any further than it needs to, right?
I'm taking a lot of solace in WrestleVoters' report that Miz is not involved in the WWE Championship picture at WrestleMania. They say Bobby Lashley is.
I agree, but that still means that he could have it till Fastlane. And Fastlane feels like a long way away when Miz is the WWE Champion cutting these promos on Raw.
Yeah. So what else happened? They have the ultimatum. Braun Strowman comes down. He's like, Braun, I should get a title shot before any of you. Sure, whatever. And then Shane McMahon comes in, furthering your dream match at WrestleMania. Shane versus Braun.
Bah.
He's going to jump off a thing.
Do you know what it is? I think it's the gloves that make me not like Braun now. Braun's new gear, where he just has these little gloves. I'm like, what are you? Apart from a train driver, what are you?
He's got a very tight top on.
Yeah, no. I preferred the vest with the nipple poking out.
Oh, that one. The eye of Sauron.
Little peekaboo.
So what Shane then does is book Lashley versus Strowman in a main event this evening, where if Strowman wins, he'll be added to the Lashley-Miz championship match next week. Mm-hmm. So that effectively is definitely making it Lashley versus Miz the following week. So he books that there. So maybe the reason they didn't take the title off Miz right away is so they could have at least a week of build, a TV-announced match, for a title match on Raw next week for the title change.
I think that the rating would have been stronger for the opening segment of the show than it will be for the main event next week. Like, I mean, come on, the main event next week, the third hour, is not going to be as high as the opening quarter of this hour is going to be. So you're going to have less eyeballs on the championship switch next week.
So after that, that meant we got Lashley versus Strowman in the main event. And I was strapped in for Strowman wins via shenanigans. Triple threat next week. Strowman and Lashley cancel each other out. Miz sneaks in a win. Elongate this further to Fastlane. But what happened instead was genuinely quite stunning. In that they booked Bobby Lashley. First of all, it was a great, I really, really like this style of match. No downtime, no rest holds, just play the hits. It was like Paul Heyman booked it, Brock Lesnar, Goldberg style. Big move, big move, big move, big move. Big guys getting up right away and then hitting their move on someone else. But it put Lashley, in a very strongly booked match, it put over Lashley huge.
Dude, I have been so burned by Raw main events ending in DQs. Very rarely are you getting a clean finish in a Raw main event paper, like Raw main event. That I wrote in my notes, man, I smell a DQ in this match. Because I genuinely thought to myself, there's no way they're beating Bobby. There's no way they're beating Braun at this point either. And then the match we got, A, was a banger of a match, and B, was a clean finish that Bobby just beat him, and it made Bobby look so much better off the back of it. And like, credit to them. I thought it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, Miz was on commentary as well. So you had sort of Miz going, oh God, did add another layer. Lashley kicked out of the running power slam.
And I don't know this for a fact. The commentary was saying like no one kicks out of that move, but I thought that was the finish. I proper brought into it as a near fall. Bobby kicking out of that running power slam really worked me.
I'm pretty sure that whole Brock Lesnar match was based around kicking out of the power. But didn't Goldberg kick out of the power slam as well? Goldberg
must have kicked out of it.
Whatever. I'm sure people will correct us. But I just saw something about the people not receiving the live notifications. Hopefully you're here now, though. Share it around. Get people in.
Yeah. You be the notifications.
It put Lashley over so strong, and then Miz runs in to attack him afterwards. Lashley just takes him out too, poses with the WWE Championship. This is Walking Armageddon Bobby Lashley with the Beatdown Clan. They're just called the Hurt Business.
Exactly. It's the Bobby Lashley that we have been kind of clamoring for since he went back to WWE. You and I were there, like, you know, in the t-shirt wall era of the WrestleTalk podcast, being like, God, I wish we could have Walking Armageddon back again. Instead, we've got smiling, I've got sisters Bobby Lashley that just was not working whatsoever. And it's taken them a little while, but they've finally figured it out. And now we've got the Bobby Lashley that can be and should be this company's champion. And I think that he should win the title next week. But as I said at the top of this, he was put over so strong at the end of this, and like he held the title up and everything. I did have this sinking feeling of like, he's not winning the belt next week. I think there's going to be some Drew McIntyre involvement next week, and Miz is going to be this crap champion who's just crap and everyone knows is crap, but we just keep pretending that it's good.
Bring in Jerry Lawler for a match as well.
Yeah, exactly. Although,
to be fair, they had a great
feud. They were great,
So the main event was heel Strowman versus heel Bobby Lashley for a shot at heel Miz. This was heel-heavy show. It was prime WWE in a way.
That's why I think Bobby's the babyface now. Honest to goodness, Bobby felt like the babyface at the end of this show. Like the conquering babyface who'd come over the big heel in Braun Strowman and then beat the crap out of the chicken S-word heel Miz. He looked like the biggest babyface star since Drew McIntyre on the Raw brands.
Yeah, he's definitely acting as a heel, but as we've seen for the entire Attitude Era, it doesn't matter if you're, as long as you don't cheat and stuff, or like overly cheat, you can just be a badass monster. And that'll get you chid. And I found myself at the end of this show and that main event, how strongly Lashley looked. And considering how down I was on WWE and their decisions just 24 hours prior, I was kind of like, I don't even want Lashley. Because if the idea is Lashley wins it next week or at Fastlane and he goes into WrestleMania as champion and then Drew wins it back in front of fans, I'm not sure I want Lashley's run to be that quick. I want him to hold it for longer.
That's exactly what a lot of people said this yesterday when we were talking about this, is that like one of the downsides of the sort of, I think what people are expecting, which is that Bubbles wins the belt off of Miz in a very, very short space of time. But then he only holds on to until WrestleMania. And that's like, that's Bobby's first run as the WWE champion. That he's on such a roll at the moment that I almost want him to have a good run with it. But I really feel that the direction is to get Drew the big babyface win in front of the crowd at WrestleMania so that he can have that championship pop that he didn't get last year.
Which unless you keep Lashley. It on Lashley. Unless you keep it on Lashley and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, I suppose it depends on how hot you want to keep Lashley, really. But yeah, I've seen a few people message me today because I gave my theory that I think that Drew McIntyre is interfering in, and I've got to worry that it's going to be Drew versus Miz at WrestleMania, which just sounds pretty horrible. Miz walking into WrestleMania as the champion again. And a lot of people are saying that they think it's going to be Bobby Brock, or like, you know, Brock's going to come back next week to set up Bubbles versus Brock at WrestleMania. Mm.
To WWE's credit, there's a lot of moving parts around the title picture and woven into this night-long thread. Because you had Shane, Braun, they've got their feud going on. Miz, he's friends with Morrison, who was kind of fighting for the United States title. Bobby Lashley connected to the whole Hurt business. This is good stuff. Now, there is another thing in here, though, where Miz begged Adam Pearce before the ultimatum to get him out of this. And Pierce was like, sorry, I can't. And he walks off. And then the shot ends with Miz on his phone.
Miz is and getting used to his Hollywood connections.
I took that to mean Strowman.
Oh, you think that Miz called Strowman? But Miz did. I mean, that's a very interesting idea. I don't think, have you seen anyone else make this suggestion, or is this like just something that you come off the back?
That was my knee-jerk reaction. Oh, he's taught, and then Strowman came out and got involved in that segment. And then later on that night, just before the match, Braun Strowman weirdly walked into the shot where Miz and Morrison were, and they scurried off. I wouldn't be surprised if Strowman now interferes in next week's match as a reverse Dogs of War.
Oh, what? So you think that Braun's going to team up with Miz and Morrison? Do you think Angel Garza's still part of that team?
I don't know. But I think Shane McMahon is teaming with the babyfaces in that dynamic. It's the access of crap.
I mean, in fairness, like to give your theory some credit, they did pipe in Shane O'Mac Chance for Shane. So he is a big ridiculous. Old baby face. He's a big old baby face in the eyes of WWE. No longer heel. He is a stone cold baby face right now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, let's see what you guys think on the Hyper Chats. Remember, getting all your Hyper Chats at wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Bacon Rasher says, "Hi, lads. It took Miz to be champ to get this. If it took Miz to be champ to get this, I'm all in. The main event picture on Raw was great last night. Bobby was amazing in his TNA run, and he can do it in WWE. Gonna make Miz hurt. Get Ricochet in the Hurt Business as US champion. All that gold, jam that jam."
I don't think you need to add more people to the Hurt Business. I actually think they're much better as a foursome, really. And I like that we got Cedric and Shelton on the same page again.
There's one person that is allowed to be added to the Hurt Business, and that is Samoa Joe standing up from commentary in his suit. Proper beatdown clan reunion.
Yeah, that works for me.
James Dobinson, "If Miz loses next week, does that make Elimination Chamber the most pointless pay-per-view ever? Bryan wins, but is instantly forgotten as Edge chooses Reigns." Whoa, slow down there, Dobby. We don't know that for sure.
Ooh, you're right, Luke. I think that was you that really cut out then, unless it was me. But yeah, you went very, very funny.
Well, I'll say that again. "If Miz loses next week, does that make Elimination Chamber the most pointless pay-per-view ever? Bryan wins, but is instantly forgotten as Edge chooses Reigns." And I was saying, whoa, 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 that's not confirmed.
We don't know that for absolute certain. Yeah, I'd put good money that it's someone else.
"Drew wins, but Miz cashes in, only to be forgotten about 1 week later. Bryan and Drew's wins mean nothing."
I mean, I was thinking about this morning, but like both chambers had a very similar thing, which is that the people who won were then lost matches that went a couple of minutes directly afterwards. Like literally both chambers had the exact same structure.
Matthew Makovsky, "Hi guys, back again. Lashley needs to win that goddang title next week. He looked like an absolute monster. This next part, I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion, but if the end goal is Bobby versus Drew at Mania, please let Lashley retain. I love Drew, but please..." I'm there with you, Matthew.
Yeah, I think I'm with you as well, Matthew. As much as I do want Drew, but I think that's actually going to make the Mania match all the better. That, you know, I want to see both guys win. And I almost kind of don't mind which direction it goes in.
In that case, just have Bobby beat him at WrestleMania, I think. Don't have Miz cash in. Don't even have Miz have the briefcase originally. And then, you know, Bobby beating Drew makes Bobby look better. Go on to that Lesnar match. DF Sports, "Why would Lashley win the championship just to drop it so soon? Makes him look awful. Let Miz have it till Mania and let him do his thing. Miz is a good worker when they let him, or have Bobby win and don't drop it. I prefer the latter."
I prefer the latter. Like, I don't know how many weeks I can do of Miz cutting the same promos he was doing in his, like, it's 10 years ago, and he was kind of the same promo. Like, it is, someone messaged me today being like, "Oh no, he's really like progressed as a character." And I'm like, yeah, if you're cutting the same promo you did 10 years ago, you are not progressing as a character, doing the exact same shtick. And that just means we're going to get the exact same title run, which it didn't work 10 years ago. And they realized that it didn't work, which is why Miz never won it again.
Rhys Johnson, "Afternoon, lads. They're building up Bobby to be unstoppable, which is okay, but should have done it 3 years ago, not now after the sister and ass stuff. And with Drew not appearing on Raw, is there more to him dropping the title or just to build intrigue?"
I think it's just to build intrigue on that. I mean, you're absolutely right, but I think they've done a stellar job of rebuilding Bobby after the damage of the sisters and all the ass stuff.
They've done a year, nearly a year of solid Hurt Business build. And he had that title match against Drew last May, which was very good.
I think it was one of Drew's best championship matches, actually, his match with Bobby. That was so good.
And feuds. It's just a shame it had that little bit of Lana involved. Good God. Chris Cascio. "Howdy, y'all. I just want to say I'm super hype for the Bobby Lashley title run, but I want to ask, what percentage of a chance do we have him having the title the SummerSlam?" Good money?
No.
33 and a third?
I would like it though. Actually, I could really go with him on a title run till SummerSlam.
Power Packers 90. "It's too obvious. Maybe Miz is just the Mania champ because it doesn't matter when the tribal chief is the top champion.
Here's the thing, though, with Miz being the champion, some people are making the argument that Miz should walk into the champ, like walk into Mania as the champion. But what do you do with Bad Bunny then? Like, you've been building this feud between Priest and Bad Bunny and Miz and Morrison. Are you going to drop all your Bad Bunny plans to have Miz have the title for a bit longer?
There's another thing we didn't think of. Does Bad Bunny cost Miz the title?
Yes, I mean, there's every chance that he could do. I think it's funnier, like, if, as I said on yesterday's show, I think it's really good character work for Miz is if he loses the title, but Bad Bunny still has his. And it's just like, I'm still a champion and you're not. And my title run's been longer than yours has. I think that's actually good character work for Miz to work off and to further their feud.
Zachary Jenkins. Hi, guys. I was going to rant about how Shayna's booking is killing me inside, but was wondering, do you think Drew might interfere next week? I think he would rather fight Bobby than Miz from a character perspective. Also, can't wait for AEW Revolution. Yes.
Could be a great show. Really, really good show. I'm really looking forward to that as well.
But yeah, I'm hoping Drew doesn't. Yeah, I think it could happen, but I don't want it to.
It doesn't feel like a Drew thing to do. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you know, he causes the DQ because he wants to be the man that takes the title off The Miz.
Nate S. WWE announced the new season of Miz and Mrs. April 12th, airing immediately after Raw. Isn't that the Raw after Mania?
I mean, it's quite late, yeah.
I think Miz will be champion until at least Fastlane to promote that. Also, I bet Miz challenges new champion Drew on Raw after Mania, saying he already beat him for the title.
Nate, I think you can do that without the Miz being the champion until Fastlane. Like, him being champ until Fastlane does nothing to promote a show that starts 2 months later. But Miz challenging him on the Raw after Mania as the man who's already beaten him once is probably a good way to promote the show.
Where are they gone? Mr. Bert Wayne, Miz hires Strowman to protect the title from Lashley. That's kind of what I was thinking. And we get a fatal four-way at Fastlane featuring Drew McIntyre.
So Miz is then like the chicken S-word heel against the three other monsters. He's got to try and defend his title.
Could be a fun match, though, SummerSlam style. You know, that big four-man main event. Leon Quashy, I'll just do a few more of these because they're all on Miz. Time to fantasy book. Brock returns next week to swerve us smarks and allows Miz to keep on being champion until Fastlane. Good God. Drew dispatches of Miz at Fastlane and gets a quick build for an emotional match with Sheamus at Mania. Brock versus Lashley for Mania.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, where does Sheamus fit into all of this? Again, you know, he got his win, got a win tonight. Where does he factor in all this?
Ben Morris, I'm on board with Lashley winning the title. I want him to go past Mania and go on a year-long reign.
Ben, I would be with you, but as we've seen with Drew's run, like, I think people get tired of, there is a portion of fans that will get tired of it very, very quickly.
Alan Monzen, if Bobby Lashley wins the belt next week, I hope he gets a good title run because who knows if he'll get another run as world champion. Drew then can face Lashley at Mania where he loses, then has a rematch down the line when he beats Bobby for the title. Yeah, I think that's what I'm preferring right now. And finally, for now, Eli, it's kind of ironic, but also great that Lashley's last WWE run was ruined by an Elimination Chamber match. And now in 2021, you could say his career is being saved because of one.
It's an interesting point to make, yeah. Because I wonder with like the title change and stuff, you know, what you think, I suppose, you know, what you got planned for Roman Edge. Do you want to switch both titles? Do you want one to defend? Do you want both to retain? Like, are you putting the belt onto Edge? Are you having Roman keep it? So, like, maybe I wonder if that those decisions are going to factor into whether you keep the belt on Bobby or you go with Drew again.
I'll just do this last one because it came in. Sean Blanford, Miz is keeping the title until Fastlane. Next week, Miz gets DQ'd. And it sets up a five-way between Miz, Drew, Sheamus, Braun, and Lashley at Fastlane. Lashley wins at Fastlane, and Brock comes out at the end to challenge. Lashley beats Brock at WrestleMania.
You see, a lot of people have got behind the Brock Lesnar thing.
Yeah, I can't see the version of reality where if Lesnar returns, he doesn't win at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back to do one job. He comes back to do a title run and lose the belt a year later.
You say that, but Goldberg came back for a job.
Goldberg and Brock are different.
Yeah, Goldberg wins more. Like, Goldberg comes back so he can win.
So, Raw opened with Miz TV. We've already spoken about that. Any more thoughts?
Nope. Same promo it was 10 years ago.
Nope. Bobby Lashley was wearing a pink suit.
Oh, an homage to Mark Henry, maybe.
That's what I thought, yeah. But the first match was Riddle versus John Morrison. Really, really fun back and forth stuff.
Dude, this came out of friggin' nowhere. Like, it was, you know, it's Morrison's out there to do his sort of comedy shtick with The Miz to kind of introduce him as the champion. Then you've got, like, the Hurt Business stuff. You get this backstage segment with Riddle doing some comedy with the Lucha House Party, saying, like, oh, I've got you to thank. You've always had my back. You know, this, that, and the other comedy in inverted commas, thank you. And then it's just like Riddle, John Morrison's out there. Riddle comes out for a match. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, just a match on Raw, I guess, just a way to fill time. And dude, these two had an absolute banger of a match. This was great. Proper back and forth. They kicked the crap out of each other. This is the best that Riddle has looked probably since he moved to Raw. This was like, this reminded me of how he debuted on SmackDown, where he was just going and having great matches with everyone. So as a way to kind of get him over, this did so much more for him than anything with the Hurt Business has done for the last couple of months.
Riddle has had loads of great matches on Raw. Those two ones with Sheamus. I think he had another one. It was when he entered the feud with Lashley. It was just like, pew, nothing. What really surprised me here, and I know it, because I saw him just over a year ago doing it, John Morrison can freaking go still.
Yeah, he's
better now than he was in his first run with WWE. He's just like, I don't know, there's like that extra layer of psychology to him and the way he works. So yeah, this was a really good match, just like the main event. But whereas the main event was Hoss, this was more kind of strikes and high flying athleticism. Yeah. But they were nonstop.
No rest hold, no long period of time working over someone. This was just like, I'm going to kick you in the face, then you kick me in the face. It was, I thought this was absolutely terrific. I felt like I was watching an indie show. Like, it really felt like I'd gone to see Matt Riddle at a Rev Pro show where he's middle of the car and he's just like, I'm just going to go out there and have a great match. I loved this.
Yeah, bro Derek to win, hit all the spots, very decent. I'm optimistic because the United States title, thanks to John Cena, was sort of built up as the work rate title. You know, that was, you'd watch Raw and at least you'd know, well, there'll be a US title match this week and it'll be good. Which is what AEW wanted to do with the TNT title, but it never sort of caught on because Team Taz had to interfere in all the promos. But I'm now hopeful that we can just get great Riddle matches every week.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love that. To bring back the United States Open Challenge. I mean, sadly, he didn't go with our idea of having the pizza title belt design, which is a real shame. It's a missed opportunity.
It's just one day after he won it. Hopefully, you know, that's coming back. Did you see the Miz's custom plates?
No.
It's, you know what it is.
Oh, it's the WWE logo, but turned the other way around. Oh, yeah. So it looks like an M.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. We got the first of two totally identical vignettes hyping Rhea Ripley as coming soon to Raw.
Yeah. A worrying sign they have no plans is when you just do coming soon vignettes. Like, you know, we had a lot of these with EC3. We had these with Lacey Evans. I have got a pang. She hasn't done anything since the Rumble. I've got a worrying pang that there are no plans for Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Well, no. There's a plan, Luke. It's to lose to Charlotte.
I don't know if that's the plan. But like, mm-hmm. Asuka's got nothing going for her at the moment, aside from constantly being pinned. So, I should be hyped for Rhea Ripley versus Asuka, but they've kind of buried Asuka so far into the ground now that I'm not really into that as a title match. I'm actually probably more into Rhea versus Charlotte.
I saw someone fantasy book a scenario where Asuka starts United States Open Challenge, just like anyone, you know, effectively do the AJ Lee Paige debut. Rhea mm-hmm. Ripley comes down and rather than a fluke win, just destroys Asuka in a squash.
Yeah,
I've been out for a year. Charlotte beat me at last WrestleMania, and now I'm here to. I've taken a year out. I've trained back. You know, reintroduce her that way.
Well, yeah, in a sense, you can just pretend that she didn't come back for NXT. You can basically just pretend. you can just say, "Yeah, I've been out for a year. I've had time to think. I've had time to re-strategize. Now I'm the champion."
Or new idea, because Asuka and Charlotte had tension on this show. Rhea Ripley's their new best friend. and she doesn't want them to fight anymore. She's like, guys, I have known you forever. Please stop fighting. You know, like the Keith Lee storyline with Drew and Sheamus.
Yeah. If only you'd done that in an Australian accent, I think you really could have sold me on that storyline.
I did do it in an Australian accent. How dare you, mate? Bad Bunny got a recap from Saturday Night Live. Then he's backstage with Damian Priest. R-Truth was going to cash in, but Damian Priest is like, don't do that. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to the match later on, but you know how you were saying yesterday that you got that worry that Damian Priest is involved with the 24/7 title picture? There were a lot of 24/7 geeks around him this week.
Just saying, on paper, there's a lot of 24/7 title in this, Damian Priest. Then we got Miz begging Pierce to stop the Lashley stuff. That's when he was on his phone. New Day and Retribution. Good God. Actually, before that, Freddie Prinze Jr., former Raw creative member, made a slight cameo because what's a Punky Brewster? I've never heard of this. I don't know. Well, it's coming back to Peacock Premium, and the cast was sort of in the Thunderdome. Get used to these awkward promotional spots, folks, because there's going to be a lot of premium peacocky ones.
I like how they have to put a box around it. This is who we're talking about. Like, so it's just like, because they just show you like a wall of Zoom calls. They'd be like, these people here. These are the people that we're talking about.
How guffins did that look?
I know.
This is like, you know, it looked like I drew it on MS Paint, the way this yellow brush went round the people. And no, this is the company that does all the giant AR stuff. Why isn't Roman Reigns going?
But wondering, like, what they've done here is that he's made the play and he's going to kick the ball around this way, like drawing on the screen. Now you watch this. Now we go to the next stage. Here's what you do next. Yeah, it looked proper naff. But Freddie Prinze Jr., she's all that. Freddie Prinze Jr. was on Raw again.
I would love that kind of football, Monday Night Football analysis thing. If it was Samoa Joe at ringside being like, and here's how he got that pin in at the end. This was the turning point of the match. You know, like those Taz things on AEW?
I say what you're saying is you want the Taz thing from AEW, but with Samoa Joe doing it.
It's so good. Anyway, we got New Day versus Retribution's T-Bar and Mace, and New Day won very quickly in about 2 minutes. And then Ali got annoyed, shouted at them, and that's it, yeah.
Yeah, Retribution dominated the match, and then Kofi hit a Trouble in Paradise from out of nowhere. It's got the fluke pin, and then they all stood up afterwards. Ali got shouty, and that was it. This feud has sucked donkey doodle. It has been real, real bad because they have pretended to tell a story about the Elimination Chamber from 2 years ago and Kofi Mania, but none of that is ever really happening. And New Day just keep winning. So it's like Retribution are getting nothing out of this.
Do you think they're breaking up? Ali 100%. At the end here, shouting at them all, gave the impression that he'll either chuck them all out and get new recruits or just break up completely. Or next week they become serious.
I think next week they beat him up. They beat up Ali and they kick him out of the group.
That's bad. Mia Yim was at ringside though. Mia Yim's back, so that's good because she was off for did she say, you know, the thing, I think. I'm not good. I can't confirm that in my head. Then we got Lashley's ultimatum. Then we got Hurt Business versus Lucha House Party. What also was a really fun back and forth match. Tornado tag. They just, you know, no non-stop action. And crucially, Shelton and Cedric worked together. No hint of infighting to retain.
Love to see it. I really enjoy these two. I think they've seemingly dropped the infighting storyline that they were doing, which I'm all for. Really much prefer it this way. And yeah, they were just, you know, on the same page and they won in a convincing manner, looked great doing it. Lucha House Party are kind of pretty, you know, they're good in this role. I thought Shelton and Cedric looked wicked coming out of this. Good stuff. It sucks that there are literally, you know, no other tag teams for them to feud with, but yeah, this was good.
They need a story now. Like the Hurt Business is great. That they've got the tag belts. Hopefully the WWE Championship is coming to them as well. Give these guys a story.
Just a story that isn't them infighting. Because that was a story.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good point.
Just not that story.
I meant a good story. I thought that was implied. Okay, then we got the Damian Priest versus Angel Garza match. Angel Garza got a bit of offense in here. It was quite nice to see. But it was also... Yeah, it was also Damian Priest could power out with his deep voice. And he's got such a cool comeback where he effectively punches your punch, but does it harder than you, and you end up on the worst side. And he won in the end.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much Garza got of this match. Don't think we should be having Damian Priest be selling this much for little Angel Garza. Because it's not like you're doing anything with Garza. So just go. And we've already seen Priest dominate him once. So just if you're going to do the match again, just do that again, I guess.
It was only a couple of minutes of selling. And I think there is an argument there that it is to build to the Priest's power comeback. So it's
Vince McMahon's formula.
Yeah, it's not a red flag to me, but this is week 4 of Priest being on the main roster. And he, after a match with Angel Garza, Drew Gulak and Akira Tozawa ran down to get the title off Bad Bunny, and he beat them both off.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. Bad Bunny beat them off as well, you know, helping out there. It's always good to double team. I am still going to bat for Priest. I don't think he's in the 24/7 title picture. I think the 24/7 title picture is trying to get to him, but he is beating them off left, right, and center. And they're still not in this. He's not in the title scene. He's not become a 24/7 geek yet. I've still got faith that WWE, because you know, he's still with Bunny. I think they've still got big plans for him. It just depends on what they're going to do with Miz now. If Miz is walking into Champion Mania, then the Bad Bunny needs a new feud.
I think the idea for Miz to cash in was done relatively last minute. Maybe not last minute, but definitely after they'd already thought, let's do Bad Bunny versus Miz at Mania. And now they're like, but Miz was also involved in this thing. Okay, we'll just have them treading water for 3 weeks then.
Yeah, that is a bit of a concern. There are times, actually, I was thinking about this with WWE, and like, you know, it happened a lot on this show where, because to give kind of like my sort of overall thoughts of this show, it is remarkable that after having a show where Miz became the WWE champion, that you presented a show where virtually nothing happened. It was actually pretty impressive. And the show feels like, do you remember like early days of the pandemic when both AEW and WWE were like, well, we want to do some big angles, but we're going to wait till fans come back. So we're just going to keep sort of holding off until we do. AEW were very guilty of this, of being like, well, we're not going to do any angles just yet because we don't know what the situation is. So it just felt like you were watching episodes of Raw and Dynamite. It was like, yeah, but nothing's happening because we're just treading water. Raw really feels like we're just treading water at the moment. There's no builds towards anything. Not even WrestleMania.
I disagree. I'll get into that at the end of the play-by-play review part because, you know, Rhea Ripley, she's main roster call-up. We got the exact same promo next. And talking of nothing happening, Luke, Randy Orton vomited black liquid next.
This is what I mean. Like, this feud is doing the same thing week after week after week. This feud has gone nowhere since he set him on fire.
Look, he hasn't previously vomited black liquid. That was Alexa Bliss who did that.
Cool. So this feud is going nowhere fast. It's the same crap every single week, just with a different variation of the same shade of shite. And I don't like it. I can't get him. It's like, oh, great. Now he's coughing up blood. Do you know what? Oh, Black Bomb, next week he'll just do something else. They don't know how to do this story long term, but they feel like they have to get it to WrestleMania. And I'm sitting there thinking like, man, we've got another 6-8 weeks of this. And they haven't got enough to fill the one, let alone six.
So Randy cut a promo backstage in that ring area they have, and he said he keeps on getting distracted. He got distracted at the Gauntlet match last week, lost at the chain because he was distracted. He wasn't focused enough when Kofi rolled him up. Would have liked to have seen some follow-up on that. That's unfortunate. And he realized he's not distracted by the Fiend. He killed the Fiend. He's distracted by Bliss. Now, he did let, when he was saying this, he did, I thought, oh, that's weird. But it was actually quite good foreshadowing, because then he vomited black liquid over himself and walked off shot. But the best thing of all of this, as it always is with these stupid supernatural segments, is when they cut to the commentary.
And they've got to act, and they've got to act. And then Tom Phillips has got to go, oh man, well, we've got to try and refocus on the action in the ring.
Refocus was that. So I wrote, I'm going to do this from now on. If I remember, I'm going to write down the announcer lines to transition from that. A man being poisoned at best, supernaturally cursed at worst. How they transition from that into the next segment. So Byron Saxton said, what was that? And Tom Phillips said, let's refocus now on Lacey Evans's pregnancy.
Speaking of wrestling,
he'll be the freaking Antichrist for all you know, Tom, with everything that's going on right now in WWE.
Also, because they recap this later on. So the way that this segment went is that Randy's cutting his promo and he's talking about what he's been distracted by, which is Alexa Bliss. So he'll be like, I'm actually distracted by Alexa Bliss. And it will then show a recap of Alexa Bliss doing something last week. Mm-hmm. And then Randy's like, so was Randy Orton poisoned by the recaps? Was like seeing the recaps what poisoned him?
It could have triggered something. You know, like the black bile is a substance within our own bodies. And the body works in mysterious ways.
Oh, it's interesting. So you think Alexa Bliss, the hex spell that she put on Randy Orton was like, the next time that you show a recap, you're going to spew black bile, knowing that one of the big things of this feud is showing recaps of the previous week.
Luke, I think I was hit by the same curse. I hate recaps in WWE. After that, let's refocus, because then we got Flair and Asuka taking on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I thought my first line of notes on this was pretty big match, this, actually. You know, I wonder how much of it will be about Charlotte. Most of it. Yeah, was.
All of it was, pretty much, because once again, the heels worked over Asuka for the Charlotte Flair hot tag. Charlotte, they were putting over as like, Charlotte Flair's so distracted at the moment with the Lacey Evans announcement, while Charlotte Flair is kicking ass and taking names and beating them both up. I was like, oh, she is distracted, isn't she? Heels worked over Asuka. Flair gets the hot tag. They work over Flair for a little bit. And then they pinned Asuka again. Nia Jax has pinned both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion in the space of 24 hours.
So Charlotte accidentally knocked Asuka. But, you know, that was just one strike. And then Nia Jax hits the lamest leg drop. Yeah. And that's enough to put away Asuka. It is, you know, I'm a guy who likes to look at patterns in things, but I'm also not someone who necessarily takes causality out of those patterns. But when I think about the WWE women's division, wasn't it really good between like May and sort of October, mm-hmm. maybe November as well? You had the Asuka stuff when she won it, and there was this, it was mostly the Sasha Banks Bayley stuff that crossed over from SmackDown to Raw and then just mostly on SmackDown. But then Charlotte came back and it found an extra layer of rubbish.
I'm going to disagree with you here, because I've got a different theory on this, which is that the summer stuff that we all loved with Asuka was nothing to do with WWE being invested in Asuka. It's just that they really liked Banks and Bayley enough to put them on all three shows. So as soon as you stopped the Banks and Bayley stuff, they were like, well, we're not interested in Asuka, so we're just not going to push her at all. And then Charlotte's come back, and now they're like, well, Charlotte's back now, so we'll just put all the focus on her instead. Asuka may as well not be the champion. Just take the belt off of her.
That's why I quite like the idea of Ripley just coming out and squashing her next week. Like, yeah, at least Asuka can then, yeah, It's no Sila Asuka. She's been booked so poorly. But Asuka slapped away Charlotte's hand after the match, like, no, I don't want your help. But they're best friends. And
our friendship is over.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Jeff Hardy took on Sheamus. I've got nothing to say about this. Sheamus won. Right. It was pretty physical.
I've got one note. Sheamus wins.
Charlotte then, Charlotte was backstage, and they have, like, I thought this was pretty good. This Charlotte was, and Rick.
Honestly, this is the best Flair performance in quite some time in WWE. This was genuinely great. This is the best acting that these two have done together, because Charlotte, like, for, you know, she's a great wrestler, one of the best in the company, but she's wooden as all heck when you're doing backstage segments. Here, though, not a hint of wood about this whatsoever. She was just, like, really affable, and this felt like so genuine, and I thought Flair felt genuine as well. This was some genuinely good acting.
I think they were it's father and daughter working together, and they seemed like they were potentially hitting on some potential grains of truth there in their relationship, and they leaned into that well. Stanislavski and acting. So yeah, I thought this was good. The basic premise was Charlotte was telling Rick to go home because she wanted to be her own person, you know, her own person who wears a robe and does the woo and does the figure four tribute. But, you know, and Rick kind of, like, I thought last week we said, okay, well, a good thing to do here would be to keep Lacey Evans around, heal it up with Ric Flair, and at least have her on screen, because you've done a month or so of this already. Why not just keep her about as an on-screen presence? But this, to me, said they are dropping that hard. Yep. Because Rick apologized for ever getting involved with Lacey. He said he never said that he was the father, and yeah, he's going to go home.
Yeah, that was it. He was like, I just thought I could expand the Flair brand. It's easy for me to say. This is why I'm not a promo. I'm not an actor either, and I used to be. And then, like, you know, Charlotte kind of, like, made her argument, Flair made his, but the crux of this was, it felt like we're dropping the partnership stuff with Evans and Flair. Evans isn't coming back to TV either. Flair's going off in her own direction, which one would presume is winning the title.
That's what I got from it, definitely. After that, we got, this was the worst thing on the show for me. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose in the ring with Lana and Naomi, number one contenders for the women's tag team titles, if you don't count NXT as well. Nobody got entrances. A minute of action at best. Lana and Naomi pinned Mandy Rose with a sort of double X Factor thing. And then it was over. This was the most diva-era toilet break I have seen in quite some time on WWE.
Yep, I just right here. What was the point of this match? There was a moment when Phillip said, well, this is a very important match in the women's division standings. I'm like, they're already the number one contenders. How is this an important match in the standings?
Yeah, hopefully this does not become... it's better to just not do this match. Doesn't become a thing. It felt... This was a horrible flashback to how poorly the women's division used to be presented. After that, we got AJ Styles versus Ricochet, which was, they had a good match. Of course, it's Ricochet and AJ for the time they were given, but it was mostly about Omos and how tall he is.
It was a lot of about that. And it was only until I was checking Twitter afterwards, and I don't know if they've talked about this on Fightful. I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet, but I'd imagine Miguel Denise would have brought this up. But Sean put up a post yesterday saying that they're protecting AJ Styles better than most of their champions and their challengers. Like, they're really protecting him. And I was like, oh, it's because he's having a match with Triple H at WrestleMania. That's probably why he's being so protected, is to make him look so good so that he can then have the big time match with Triple H at Mania.
I could definitely see that happening. But I just feel like it's more to get Omos over. And AJ's a great hand. I mean, usually, you'd travel with the guy. I wouldn't want to travel with Omos, though. There'd be no leg room in the car. But AJ, like, usually put the younger, the sort of rookie with the veteran and AJ. And it's a way to get Omos over.
But to what end?
so Omos and AJ can eventually have a match. But
with whom? Because AJ's not feuded with anyone in ages, but he's just winning all the time.
Against each other.
You reckon against each other? You reckon that's the Mania match, is AJ versus Omos?
I don't see... It's weird, though, because they've been thick as thieves, really. It's been nothing but nice to Omos. It's not like he's been dressing him down. So maybe it's a longer-term thing. Tag match, yeah, could work. I just don't... It's Triple H's time of year, but would he want to miss this year?
Well, it's back in front of fans, though, isn't it? So Triple H missed it last year when there were no fans in place, but now's the time for him to come back when there will be fans there. So I know, this is purely from a cynical point of view, you know, as to the Triple H thing. But Triple H has, you know, and AJ has said that if he want, you know, he'd love to have a match with Triple H, and Triple H has said he'd love to have a match with AJ. And it's the sort of WrestleMania match that I could see Triple H wanting to do, is a match with AJ. And what better way to make AJ look credible than to build him up for months and months and months and months with no feud, so that you can then have the big time match with the game at Mania.
Triple H hasn't had an entrance for 2 years. I want my WrestleMania entrance. Yeah, potentially. I just don't know how Omos factors into all of this, though. Omos picked up Ricochet.
I know how he does. He stands on the outside and looks tall.
Mm. Omos picks up Ricochet after Ricochet's been beaten by the neck. I think Ricochet helped him a bit, but it's still impressive. Held him up there, threw him down. I think they're doing a great job with Omos.
Mm-hmm. Really are. Like, this is, you know, the third attempt. It's kind of like the WrestleTalk podcast channel. You know, it's gone through various changes, gone through a few gimmick changes. But like, you know, I think this is the best of the presentations, much like the WrestleTalk podcast channel. It's the best of the presentations that they've tried thus far. I think this is getting him over massively. Like, it is, no pun intended. He genuinely feels like a really great presence on the card.
Uh-oh, from Chazza. I haven't watched Raw Talk, but Chazza has said, on Raw Talk, it looked like they might be hinting AJ and Omos going after the tag titles.
I wouldn't hate that. I would not hate that whatsoever. I will say, though, I mean, Xavier Woods also hinted he was going to have a match with Mia Yim, so I wouldn't take anything that happens on Raw Talk too seriously. But yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, AJ and Omos going for the tag belts. We were saying that the Hurt Business could do with a good storyline and a good feud. What better way to give Omos the rub than to have... I mean, it's a belts that mean nothing, but at least it's a title win.
And then we got the main event that we've already covered. So overall, I actually quite enjoyed this episode of Raw, mainly just because it was all about building Bobby Lashley. And I liked the Riddle match. And I thought most of the in-ring action, not in the women's division, but the men's action was really quite decent when it got time. It's still, you know, it's Raw. The benchmark is very, very low. But I thought it was better than most weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't massively into this show. Like, all the Bobby stuff, I think, was great. And the Riddle, John Morrison match was awesome. But that was kind of about it. My issue was that most of the matches felt like they meant nothing. You know, Hurt Business beat the Lucha House Party, but it meant nothing. AJ beat Ricochet, but it meant nothing. Naomi and Lana beat Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, but it meant nothing. Sheamus beat Jeff Hardy, and I forgot that it happened. Like, everything on this, it felt like a show of just treading water. Aside from the Bobby Lashley stuff. And when you've got a 3-hour show and only one storyline feels like it's advancing, like that's not a good show. And I was very bored watching this, which I found astounding considering how much could have come off from the back of Elimination Chamber. So it was a 2 out of 5 show for me. But you know what? The poll we put on our community tab is more thinking, it's more in line with you. 60%, in fact, calling it an average show, with basically the same 17 and 14% thinking it was 4 out of 5, a 2 out of 5 show. So yeah, everyone thought this was pretty much bang in the middle.
Yeah, that is a huge win for average there. In the hyper chats, Akalakure Raman says that Miz promo at the beginning was all I needed. So heartfelt. Very few people in wrestling can cut a promo like that and make it as meaningful. Miz knows he is going to be transitional champion, yet he is making the best of this opportunity. Awesome.
I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Bacon Rasher. Hi again, lads. So, hot take. Cena was on the phone to Miz to set up Hollywood Miz and Cena versus Priest and Bad Bunny at Mania. Drew beats Bobby at Mania. Drew gets booze. Drew equals new Roman. On a serious note, best wishes to Anna Jay for a speedy recovery. She was aggravated in an injury. Looks like she's going to be out for 6 to 12 months.
Oh, it's horrible timing for Anna Jay. That's really, really awful news. Hate to see
hopefully,
that.
Hopefully she can stick around in the Dark Order doing skits and stuff. But no Bacon Rasher. Do not turn Cena heel here. Of all the times. Matthew Robinson. I thought this was a good way to build Bobby Lashley in this show, at least. Hopefully they give it to him and be only the second African-American champion after Kofi. If they don't, I do believe it shows that certain people are only allowed mid-card.
You say that, but Miz is the champion, so clearly other people can be. And Dolph Ziggler's been champion before, so, you know, stranger things have happened.
I think Matthew is talking more about the racial element to this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't pick up on that. Yeah, I mean, I think that Bobby is someone that like, since day one, you know, I'm going back to like 2005, day one of Bobby Lashley, he has been a Vince McMahon project. Like, Vince feuded with Bobby Lashley because he wanted him to be a WWE champion. Vince handpicked him to be the face of ECW when Paul Heyman was like, no, it's CM Punk. He's like, no, it's Bobby Lashley and you're going to like him. Get out. So he got out. He is a guy that Vince has always wanted to push. He just didn't really know how to do it. And you can see that when he came back and it was like, oh, you're going to be the smiling man who does the stalling suplex and you love your sisters. And that's the Bobby Lashley that's going to make you a champion. It's taken them a little while, but I think they're now there. And this is the Bobby Lashley that Vince has always wanted to be a top champion. So I've got faith that they're going to keep him as a top guy for you know, a long time to come.
Matthew Robinson again. I think Bobby is perfect to fill this role. He is Vince's perfect thought of a champion. What does it mean if he doesn't get the title? If not, WWE will look very racist due to this, I believe. I don't think it necessarily makes WWE look racist. I just think it makes them look bad at their jobs because they should put the title on Bobby. And it very much does look like they will. Like, surely. LuchaBot.
Unless Drew getting involved.
LuchaBot, I rewatched your reaction to Miz's title win a couple of times yesterday and couldn't stop laughing. Glad you got enjoyment out of it. Hello! If you wanted Lashley with the title, MVP messes with who gets chosen for the Elimination Chamber. It becomes Drew, Shelton, Cedric, MVP, Lashley, and someone like Jeff Hardy to get murdered before Drew comes in. Drew eliminates some, but Lashley wins at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that fantasy booking, it sort of works, but because of the nature of the match, you had to have a sixth name in there, and it was like, oh, let's just say Mo. And it's so, like, the match, the fantasy booking sort of works, but unfortunately, the match limitations drag your idea down.
Joey Robertson, I get where you're coming from with Miz, but to me, the crappy mid-card dickhead winning a belt from a champ who just won a six-man Elimination Chamber match and then beat down by hired mercs with a contract he didn't earn, is excellent wrestling storytelling, especially for Miz.
I think it's better with a different character because we did it with Miz 10 years ago. I just think it's time to move on from that person.
Yeah, I've gotten softer on the idea. I agree with you. Like, that is, it's a good story. Like, as you write it on paper, makes total sense. But yeah, my frustration and disappointment yesterday came from that it's Miz. The guy who's been booked so poorly for a year. Joey Robertson continues, to continue my last chat, I totally get that his recent booking was awful, but I highly doubt Miz will be holding that belt on pay-per-view anytime soon. Still very glad he got a great cash-in. Too bad no one was there. Hope it is quick, though. It can get old fast.
Well, I mean, but he did have a cash-in at TLC, and that really worked. I thought the cash-in at TLC was brilliant. You know, me and Denise talked about this on the Friday show last week, but I think that added so much drama to that TLC match, which was already a really good match, but Miz cashing in just made it even better. And I think that actually would have been a great end to Miz holding onto the Money in the Bank contract. Oh, should we take over? Sorry. I was waiting for the invite. On the subject of Drew, who, you know, I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of people turn on you know, in the last few weeks, but people really turned on him after Elimination Chamber. Justin says, a legend will screw Drew over in the WrestleMania main event, just like Rock did Cena. Miz will remain champion because WWE knows he gets a reaction out of us, no matter if it's good or bad.
I feel like they like Drew and Bobby enough to not do that.
Benjamin John Milne, maybe alone in this, but to transition from Drew to Miz to Lashley to Drew just for the crowd popper mania feels a little bit tainted and muted now. If you're going to do the Drew mania crowd pop, wait until next mania. No ill feelings towards Drew. I am Scottish.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the more we see of this Lashley character, the more everyone wants it to be a long title reign, not another transitional one.
Kevin says, no Drew on Raw means, in my opinion, we won't have a finish next week. Yeah, that was my thoughts as well. He's going to interfere in the match to set up a triple threat at Fastlane. Miz will get pinned and the other two will move on to their program for WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Raging Rhino 10101. Pitch for next week. Drew appears to interfere, but Sheamus comes and stops him, setting up them for Fastlane, maybe as a number one contenders match. Well, we pitched that on yesterday's show, but it was that you don't need to have like an interference spot. It was just Bobby beats Miz, and Drew and Sheamus have a match at Fastlane for the number one contendership spot at Mania. And Hello says, I think you can hold off on Bob versus Drew. AJ still doesn't have a main event story. Drew versus AJ for Mania. Sheamus versus Drew. Then Sheamus versus Drew, then Drew versus Bobby at SummerSlam, has Drew do a title chase to get those fans back on his side, and Bob as the dominant champion for 6 months.
Ah, Lashley's hot now. You want to strike now, not in 6 months' time. WWE make that mistake all the time.
But I think that's what they're saying is that, you know, you have Bobby win, but you don't do the Bobby versus Drew match at Mania. So you do Bobby versus AJ at Mania, and then you build towards Drew versus Bubbles at SummerSlam.
I see. Okay, I'm with you, Hello. I like that.
Do you want me to continue?
You go.
Oh, thanks, mate. Adam Ulrich says, new Asuka intro from Osaka, Japan. She is the Raw Women's Champion. No, seriously, she really is. We know. Can't believe it hasn't worked out either. Asuka!
I like that.
Stunning amount of ineptitude. Azo Smith, so why does Nia get to pin both women's champions on back-to-back nights? What is it with WWE always pinning their women's champions in meaningless tags instead of, oh, I don't know, building a story for their world title? Asuka hasn't defended on pay-per-view since Clash of Champions.
To be fair to WWE, that's not their women's champions specifically. They do it to their men's champions, their tag team champions. It's just champions they don't care about.
Yeah, that's the case.
You don't get Charlotte to win this when she's champion.
No. Matthew Robinson, I believe that they think this whole drama backstage with Charlotte will make her look like the baby face, but it doesn't make her a heel. I believe Charlotte should have the title most years and lose to a baby face. You're high on a WrestleMania perfect formula. I think Charlotte's winning the title at Mania. But to be honest, like, I'm not down on that idea because you're doing nothing with Asuka. And just kind of keeping the title, like, keeping the title cold.
Charlotte as the baby face, Asuka as the heel. That's the story we're going to be forced.
Well, of course, absolutely. She's the foreigner. Of course she's going to be the heel in all of this. Ronald Cahill. So after Roman, Nia is the most dominant champion on the main roster. I mean, she does win a lot. Like, she is pretty much undefeated at this point. Wayne Pereira says, hope Asuka is okay. Looked like she was knocked silly from Shayna's kick. Might be off TV for a bit while she sorts her teeth out. They went flying. Can't catch a break.
Yeah, so Shayna struck Asuka, knocked a tooth out. Wrestler's cut. That is like the easiest thing for a wrestler. It sucks. I would not want it to happen to me. But you do not become a pro wrestler without having your teeth knocked out at least like twice, three times a year. So she'll be fine.
Remember Cesaro?
It sucks, but she'll be fine. Yeah, he was back like the next 2 weeks after. Five star. I think you are right about the age group thing when it comes to The Miz. I'm just about to go into my early 20s, and I love seeing The Muzz as a champion. It's a huge step up from seeing the likes of Goldberg being a champion again.
At least, I know that people think this is a very silly argument because it's pro wrestling, but at least Goldberg feels like a credible champion.
Frank Marina, new formula. Get beat down and lose as much as you can. Win the title like Miz and Riddle. Yep, it's one of them. It's a terrible thing. It worked for Daniel Bryan in spite of that. And WWE thought that was a formula for success, and they've done it ever since. One of the worst things that's ever happened to WWE. James Dobinson again. Champion Lashley with MVP as his mouthpiece could be gold. Charlotte with an actual proper excellent babyface promo. Ali is going to get the crap kicked out of him by the rest of Retribution. Alexa and Randy are getting nowhere without the Fiend.
There you go. They're going absolutely nowhere fast. Yeah, and I agree with you. I do think that Ali's good. Like, next week, Ali shouts at them again, and they all just beat him down. And then, the group splits up, and they get renamed, rebranded, back to their old gimmicks, and we pretend that none of this ever happened.
Issa Smith, love the Lashley presentation. Really enjoyed Riddle versus Morrison. Can we please have John Morrison back as a singles star? He is so good. One other thing, Nyra's pinned the SmackDown and Raw Women's Champions two nights in a row and doesn't care.
I wonder if we get, you know, a potential fancy booking here, Fastlane, should we have a triple threat match where it's like Nyra can pin either the Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion? So it's Asuka, Banks and Jax. You know, Asuka says, like, I've pinned both the champions. I should get a shot at both of them.
It makes sense, and it'd be quite a fun way to lean into the fan base's dislike of Nia. Have her go up against Asuka and Banks. Put all the titles on the line, but only for Nia. So if Asuka wins or Sasha wins, they only retain theirs. But if Nia wins, she wins both their belts.
Oh, so she's Nia two belts.
People would should be three belts. Should be the tag champ as well.
You're absolutely right.
Or the darkest timeline. The only lemon. So AJ's pod never officially opened by WWE's own Miz Logic. He was never eliminated. Hashtag justice for AJ. P.S. Thanks for all the content and keeping me entertained with my long work days. You're welcome. You're welcome. Chris Jenkins.
He was officially in, though. Like, they did say he's now officially in the match.
Chris Jenkins. When Randy spit up black viscous fluid, my initial thought was Randy should have got the same vaccinations that Dean Ambrose did a few years ago. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Saw producer Rich in the chat being hoping that it was going to be the return of Papa Shango. I don't think it will be, but we can hope.
Matthew Robinson. I think this is the best that the 24/7 champion has looked. Love Damian Priest defending him. Hope this push continues. What do you guys think?
Man, I hope they do push Damian Priest, just not with the 24/7 geeks, I think, as a credible star.
Dartrain 24. I realize this is unpopular, but I popped when Miz cashed in his first Money in the Bank. I was at the 40-man rumble when he retained, and I was the only one in the building cheering, and I love this. As Kane would say, embrace the hate.
Cool, yeah. Hey, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. If you like the Miz, then you like the Miz. No skin off my nose.
Chris Perez, who treats their women's champion worse, WWE or AEW? I think it depends on the champion and the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, currently, if you're talking about Asuka, then yeah, I think AEW are treating Hikaru Shida better, but that's not exactly a high bench. Like, that's, you know, a high threshold to get over because they've done nothing with Asuka for months on end. But like Io Shirai, I think they've done a great job in booking her. Same with Sasha Banks outside of Elimination Chamber.
Bailey before then.
Yeah.
Ben Morris. Other companies can book year-long storytelling and keep it interesting. Fantasy booking, I know, but Lashley as champion, backed by tag champs and MVP as a mouthpiece, will be good or great. Why does this company not see a good thing when they got it? Jam that jam.
Ben, they may have done. Like, we may be talking about, you know, Drew winning the belt back, but hey, it could be a Lashley retention and going on a long run. And like, as a way to essentially swerve us, thinking that it's going to be Drew, but actually Bobby's going to have a lengthy run, and I'm all in on that.
And the Hurt Business have been massively pushed for ages. They're the tag champs. That they had a long running US title reign before then. I think it's very good stuff. Hot tag.
I agree. Eli says, a more random question, what are your dream intergender matches? I've got three. Nyla Rose versus Keith Lee, they'd absolutely batter each other. Asuka versus Jungle Boy, and Rhea Ripley versus Hangman Page.
I don't really have any intergender dream matches. Usually you need quite a good story for me to get invested in it. However, is it Mizunami from the AEW Women's Eliminator Tournament?
Which, I don't know who you're talking about.
The woman who eliminated Maki Ito. Mizunami?
Oh, yeah, Ryu Mizunami, yeah.
Her versus Suzuki. That's what I want.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Actually, speaking of that, Meiko Satomura versus Minoru Suzuki. you know, these like old legends who are just going to kick the crap out of each other. That'd be pretty rad. Your Gadget M8 says AEW exploding barbed wire death match. WWE the Miz. And Nate S said, finish the Valentine's Patreon review and have one big takeaway. Ollie and Luke made up that they are best friends again, thanks to Ollie's jealousy over Rory. Yay, yes, please.
Nuh-uh. We have not made up. We still viciously hate each other. We're eternal foes. It's just that I don't like Luke being happy even when he was a kid. And Rory was his, I guess he was his best friend back then.
Yeah, he was one of my best friends at school. Yeah, good guy, Rory. We were recording our patron exclusive shout out videos today. Me and Laurie were doing one, and if we've talked about doing these before on this podcast, essentially what happens is we don't actually decide what we're going to do on any of the personalized shout out videos. They just usually come in the moment. Like you, if you and I sit down to do one, you'll turn to be like, "What do you want to talk about?" I go, "I don't know. We'll work it out when we press record." And something will naturally just come, right?
Great sell for the exclusive Patreon tier to get your own personalized video.
The sell is coming. So me and Laurie did one today and we did a BuzzFeed quiz. Check this out as a title. Here are 17 classic food combinations that most people love. Do you?
Oh.
And so you go through this, you click yes or no, and it tells you the percentage of the results of like how many people have said yes and no. So, for example, bacon and avocado.
Lovely. Love it in a sandwich.
58% said yes. Chocolate and strawberries.
Yep, I could go for that.
Yep, 58% chocolate and strawberries. Absolutely love it. Chips and mayonnaise.
Oh, well, that's the best one so far. Love chips and mayonnaise.
60% said yes.
Nation's favorite condiment.
Yeah. Salmon and cream cheese.
Oh, in a bagel. Slap it up for me. Slap it up, Tesco Metro meal deal.
52%, they're better apart.
What?
I know, right? And then, wait for this one, lamb and mint sauce.
One of the best condiment meat combos of all time. Second only to pork and apple.
60% no.
Get out.
That's exactly what it's the sweariest Patreon shout out video I think I've ever been a part of, because Laurie was flabbergasted by some of these results.
This is outrageous. Is it like a US based one? Do they know the beauty of mint and lamb?
Well, this is what we were asking. We weren't sure as to whether or not this is obviously, because it's likely just like a worldwide thing, right? But what we then want to know is what's the breakdown of like those who said yes, those who said no, geographical locations, age, because like chips and gravy, surprisingly, was 63%. Sounds good. I would
chips
have
chips and gravy solid.
I agree, but I would have thought, given that like lamb and mint was no, I would have thought chips and gravy would also be no, but it was yes.
I can only assume that goddamn Gen Zers, with their veganism, are getting up in this BuzzFeed article, because I'm pretty sure. Is BuzzFeed a Gen Z thing? Or is that a millennial thing?
I was going to say, it's very much a millennial thing, I think, BuzzFeed. Well, it's our generation, mate.
No. It's not mine. And it's not Ronda Rousey's either. We are separate. There's a deep cut.
Big idiot that she is.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. I mean, you know, one of my favorite pub discussion topics, long like soon may they reopen, is what is the best meat condiment combo? Because I genuinely go back and forth whether it's lamb and mint or pork and apple.
I think for me, it's lamb and mint. I think that is a beautiful.
That's number one.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful meat combination. And actually, the other one on here was beef and horseradish.
Yeah, like solid.
Meat. Yeah, absolutely solid. That, again, was a no. It was a no vote in favor of it not being a good combination. I strongly disagree. I think it is quite. Although it gets up in my nostrils like a really strong mustard does, where it's like, oh, you can like, you're almost choking on it. It's so strong.
Look, you know me. You know me. I'm a bit of a liberal, more left wing than I am right. But I wouldn't mind if the government tracked down the US the sort of IP addresses of the people who voted against Lamb and Mint and deported them.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're not British.
It's a strong case to be made.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah,
I think now.
Go on.
I was just going. I think now is the time to push that through Parliament. They're not busy.
You say they're not busy. You're right. They've got a roadmap now. There's a roadmap out this thing. They've worked it all out. We're basically
but it's not
set
fast
now
enough. But Luke is not fast enough. I want to drink now.
We were watching the news the other day, and there was like this lad on there who was talking about how he thinks that golf courses and golf shops should be reopened. And I'm like, well, that's a very interesting stance to take. What job has he got? Oh, he owns a golf shop. Well, of course he thinks it needs to be reopened.
You've probably been sent this too, but every single older member of my family, so my boomer relatives, has sent me the exact same picture. Have you seen this?
I've not seen the timetable, basically.
It's the timetable, but they've replaced the government guidance for each step to step one. Get drunk with one friend in the park. Step two, get drunk with five other people in your garden. So it's all framed around how drunk you can get.
Yeah, that's wonderful boomer humor. I do appreciate a lot of that. Like me and Kate were talking about this when we were walking around the park the other day. That I don't know how much you sort of know about this, but like the generation below us, the Gen Zers, they're not drinkers. Like we are pretty much the last generation of drinkers, like the generation that went to university. And a lot of that university time was going out and having some, a lot of drinks. Gen Zers now, they're not into it. They're into whatever. I don't know what they do, to be honest. What do they do at university?
TikTok.
And study, probably, the big dorks.
Have you seen this Korean, South Korean sensation of watching people study in silence?
No.
Yeah.
No so, but way.
I can see this because, you know, a lot of students are at home and they're kind of forced to study. It's very isolating. So what this is, and it's been a South Korean thing for a couple of years apparently, but it's gone worldwide during the pandemic. You'll get a live feed on YouTube of someone studying. And you'll just study along with them. They don't say anything. They're just reading. I think that's quite relaxing.
I mean, maybe it's because I wasn't a studier. Like, I didn't, and I'm not saying this is a good thing. I got told off by a teacher once for saying this on a podcast. I'm not advocating for this method, but I didn't study for any exams. So, or any coursework that I did. So I don't know if that would help me. Like, because there's always going to be that big distraction of, well, there's something else I could look at, though, isn't there?
So you're advocating for the next generation to drink more, study less.
I'm not saying that at all. I actually think it's a great thing that the Gen Z is not drinking quite as much. But I think, you know, it is we're a dying breed, essentially. And I think that sort of boomer humor of we're counting down to when we can go and have drinks in a park is kind of lost to this whole new generation of people who don't see the value in that.
Here's a quick thing to potentially introduce a new segment, because I think this kind of is related depending on what generation you're a part of. Who are actors in your mind? Because I was watching The Departed last night with my lady friend, and I was just talking about how great Alec Baldwin is. Alec Baldwin, I love him. I love him and everything. And she went, the guy from Friends. that one episode of Friends where he's Phoebe's really optimistic boyfriend. And she was like, yeah. To me, he's always the Friends guy. And I was like, he's Jack Donaghy from 30. But okay. Who's Jim Carrey? Who's Jim Carrey to you? And she said Truman Show. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. He's the mask to me. I would have taken Ace Ventura, but you've gone for Truman. So now I'm like, who are actors to people?
Mm.
Who's Jim Carrey to you?
Jim Carrey to me is the mask. That's you, Jim. Like instantly, that is the first. As soon as you said Jim Carrey, my first thought was either the mask or Ace Ventura. That is what I would always jump towards. But yeah, that's a not really
Dumb
interesting
and
thing. Dumb and Dumber, yeah. Like, I mean, that was his, you know, the 1994 Jim Carrey trilogy, three back to back big hitters. It's no wonder he became a legend. Then he had Batman Forever.
Who is Mike Myers to you?
Wayne's World.
Austin Powers. But maybe he's Shrek to a bunch of people.
He probably is. We know for a fact that actually I don't know what the podcast split is, but like a lot of Gen Zers watch WrestleTalk content because we're now the old people who just don't get it. They're your kids who grew up with Miz as the champion. And they're now nostalgic for that period of time, whereas we're like, oh no, I was in my mid-20s. It was awful.
Okay, so this is the debut of the new WrestleTalk podcast segment. Who is Jim Carrey to you? No, who is Alec Baldwin to you? Just so I can use this in ammunition.
Specifically Alec Baldwin?
Look, yes, you should open your response with who Alec Baldwin is to you, but then you can talk about any other actor you like. But I just before I go back to my lady partner, I want a lot of evidence to show why I'm right.
Because there's like, is the argument of like, you know, is what is Justin Timberlake to you? Is Justin Timberlake an actor or a singer? Because to me, he's a singer.
He's a singer.
A lot of people would say, no, he's an actor. And so I think that's another one. I remember having a conversation with a Gen Zer once who loved the song from 8 Mile by Eminem, but did not know it was from a movie. And when I told her, it's a really good movie. She was like, Eminem made a movie. I was like, yeah, that's what the song's for. He's literally doing the thing that he's saying in the song. Anyway, right, so we need to wrap this up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW podcast. Can't wait for that. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.